I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
22 years ago, Disney engaged in what I call myself something called a cinematic extrapolation. They took their flagship ride from Disneyland called Pirates of the Caribbean. By the way, my favorite ride, as previously expressed on this podcast. A ride with a patchwork of pirate legend, lore, and innuendo, and cast it into a film that not only lived up to the hype from the ride, but made Captain Jack Sparrow into a household name. The film went on to the land of trilogies, with the third offering being possibly the weakest, but it wasn't fatal, and it wasn't terrible, but in short, the main point is the molecular nucleus of the effort remained intact. Then, a fourth one came out, and things unraveled to a point, with disjointed and peripheral storylines and characters. Acceptable, but anemic in its overall power, and even though Ian McShane pulls off a suave and weathered Blackbeard, Penelope Cruz, conversely, just for some reason, didn't fit at all. But the fifth film is where we're getting the backstory of my own favorite character, Captain Barbossa, played by Jeffrey Rush. Unfortunately, Barbossa is now dead thanks to a last-minute redemptive feat of paternal heroics. So by the end of the fifth episode in the canon, I was pretty much done. And Captain Jack felt like he was phoning it in anyway. So now, it looks like Disney is threatening, instead of to leave the Buccaneer horse wounded in the veterinary infirmary to heal itself up, they have decided that they're going to kill it outright with a chemical drip. And I'll discuss my angst and my excitement at box number 7. Okay, before I get too far down the aisle here, I want you to first let me read an article that was sent to me from The Insider Online. I think that's the exact name, but anyway, titled Pirates of the Caribbean 6, Jack Sparrow, Will Turner, and Elizabeth Swann's reported to return in new sequel. The tides of Pirates of the Caribbean franchise may be shifting once again, as reports have surfaced suggesting that the return of familiar faces in the upcoming Pirates of the Caribbean 6. While the news remains entirely speculative, fans of the franchise are buzzing with excitement at the possibility of seeing key characters like Captain Jack Sparrow, Will Turner, Elizabeth Swann back in the big screen. However, there's a catch. This latest entry may be steering the franchise in an entirely new direction. Sources indicate that the project in development is not simply a direct sequel, but a sort of a reboot with some familiar faces integrated into the narrative. According to reports, the film will feature a new direction, focusing on new characters while retaining the legacy of the previous films through the return of some iconic figures. Pirates of the Caribbean 6 is expected to introduce fresh characters and storylines while paying tribute to the franchise's roots. One of the most notable pieces of speculation comes from the potential return of Captain Jack Sparrow, and while Disney parted ways with actor Johnny Depp after his highly controversial court case with ex-wife Amber Heard, some fans are holding out hope that Depp could return now that the waters have settled. The role could also go to a new actor, as Disney has done with other franchises such as Star Wars. We'll come back to that right there. According to insiders, Jack Sparrow will make a return, but in a more limited capacity compared to previous films. This move signals the studio's intent to explore new ground with the series while acknowledging the character's significance in Pirates history. Fans may also get to see the return of Orlando Bloom's Will Turner and Keira Knightley's Elizabeth Swan, but perhaps played by different actors. Both characters played pivotal roles in the original Pirates trilogy, and their reappearance in the sixth installment has sparked intrigue. Though no official confirmation has been made by Disney, the idea of a Pirates of the Caribbean sequel slash reboot with a mix of old and new characters could represent a fresh chapter for the long-running series, with the success of previous Pirates films, which have grossed billions worldwide. It's no surprise that Disney is looking to revive the beloved franchise with a new vision. For now, fans are left to wonder what direction Pirates of the Caribbean 6 will take. Will the combination of nostalgia and new characters reinvigorate the series, or will it chart a course that challenges the very essence of what made the franchise so iconic? That question at the end is absolutely the pièce de résistance, as they say. As soon as you start hearing these people talk about new characters and new directions and fresh faces and fresh plots and fresh offshoots, you know that something bad is coming down the pike. I want you to pay close attention to the ebbs, flows, implications, undercurrents, subtexts, overtones, undertones, and infinitesimally small fine print existing between the quote-unquote lines of the article I just read. You can hear, see, and feel the disaster on its way. You know, in entomology, the study of bugs, there exists this parasite. It's called the Spinocorda tellini. Let me take you on a brief ride of the circle of life of this interesting little parasite. You see, the parasite starts out as a semi-dormant egg laid in the shallow edge water of a river. At some point, a grasshopper will light near the water and try to get a good swig of that water, hoping for some commonplace hydration. When the eggs are imbibed, they begin to grow into an actual sentient creature who lives surreptitiously inside the body of the grasshopper, who may feel violated, but it is of no consequence because he's got a stranger on board and can do nothing about it. So when the parasite decides that it's time to lay its own eggs, it employs a darkly fascinating technique to get back to the water. It releases an enzyme into the brain of the grasshopper that specifically calls for it to commit suicide by drowning in the edge water of the river. As soon as the host has expired, the parasite exits, crawls out of the grasshopper's body, lays its eggs, and allows for the next poor schlub of a grasshopper to come along. And on and on. So George Lucas experienced something similar when he suddenly decided to grab the controls of the Millennium Falcon and take it straight into the rubble of Alderaan with his edits, reformations, addendums, and general tomfoolery that could be attributed to either a parasitic enzyme in the brain or the ennui and boredom that comes with affluence in becoming extremely rich from your creationary processes. Also, Greedo shot first, and I'm never going to forgive him for that, and he must never see the horizons of forgiveness for ruining this or even creating the argument amongst fandoms. Although Kathryn Kennedy is as close to the human form of the Spinocorda tellini as one can get, she has found a great job of tossing cinematic icebergs along the Labrador Drift for any other peaceful passenger liners that would simply like to enjoy the canon of a literary storyline. Or a cinematic one. So you know they're going to turn an otherwise non-political film into a political one with Pirates 6. Disney can't help it. There's simply no way that a cadre of millennial nitwits are going to get to pop the hood on the Pirates canon and not start pouring political fuel additives into the manifold. So what about Jack Sparrow, though? The implication is that he could be coming back, but who knows? Maybe they'll use an AI avatar and replicate his voice and get Jack Sparrow to break the fourth wall by yelling at a Tortuga harlot and call her by her first name of Amber. Maybe Disney will attempt to mollify the fan base by using AI to replicate Jack, Elizabeth Swann, and Will Turner without consulting any of them. There probably is a legal argument to be made that the characters don't belong to them, only their likenesses, and there's probably some legal maneuvering that can be made between those lines as well. And for that matter, they might use it with Hector Barbosa, my favorite character, resurrecting his character, which is of course dead in the canon right now, and managing to diss Jeffrey Rush for a paycheck on top of everything else. Anyway, between the need for rabid ideologues to ruin every single guidepost, landmark, and maritime lighthouse that ever existed in the entire world culturally, I expect Pirate 6 to stink to high heaven. I mean, think about it. Cynthia Erivo is going to play Jesus in the next Jesus Christ Superstar production. So this car has already gone right into the concession stand. So come on. We're cooked. Remember last podcast? We are cooked. That being said, I see Pirate 6 as my last opportunity too, that even if this film turns out to be a toxic smelling salt, a celluloid blight on the skyline of greatness, a fragrantly atrocious occlusion blocking the leech lines of cinematic runoff, I still need to be a pirate character. Now, what do I mean by this? No, not a main character. In fact, a non-playing character. An NPC. Situationally dispatched into Davy Jones's locker with no fanfare. That's right. I want to be an extra. I want to be an obscurity. An afterthought. A non-essential piece of flotsam and jetsam with an anti-tertiary value. So I have written not just Disney about the matter. I managed to write the director, Jerry Bruckheimer, by the way, who can be reached at 1631 10th Street, Santa Monica, for fan mail and autograph requests. I wrote, "Dear Mr. Bruckheimer, I apologize if this letter catches you at lunch or something, but this is important. I am not only a regionally obscure podcaster, but I am also an aspiring movie extra." As the years have been whittling away at my life, I never went to L.A. for a casting call to be an extra in a Pirates film before. It is the only series in which I would ever want to be in film. And by that, I want to be a throwaway background character killed in some sardonic fashion in the upcoming Pirates 6. So if you have room for me to be garroted, beheaded, shot, boiled, skinned, drowned, crushed, subjected to deprivation under a merciless sun, or my favorite, keel-hauled against the barnacle-infested underside of the Black Pearl until my entrails drift down to J.V. Jones's locker, I would be grateful. I am enclosing an answer card. Please check one and sign it. Notice I did not try to trap you into a bilateral choice. Sincerely, Ron Giesick. Box number 7. So in the letter, I'm including a little one of those cards that you kind of used in the fourth grade that you would slip over to your like wannabe girlfriend's desk with a yes or no. Do you want to hold hands during the movie? Yes, no. In this case, I'm giving him, Jerry Bruckheimer, the opportunity to check a box and blatantly refuse my request to be an extra in his upcoming film. And two, sign his name on the rejection so that I have, of course, acquired the autograph of one of the great movie directors of all time. That's it. That's enough of my tomfoolery. Hey, I'm sorry the show was late this week. A lot's been going on, and even more stuff is going on. I am hoping to do a slight cinematic and historical overlook at the movie Stand By Me, but mostly it's a literary value and the tension between the two, and that's because part of it was filmed near me, and I'm hoping to actually record part of the podcast from the most pinnacle scene from the film, a movie that is definitely about the tension between boyhood growing up and, witnessing some harsh realities of life. Kind of like listening to this podcast. All right, everyone, take care. Bless you all. This is Box Number 7.
I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.